This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. I am Emmanuel Acho. Joy Taylor again out today, but I got James Jones with me. I got Eagles all-time rushing leader Shady McCoy with me. You got your athletes sitting at the desk, but we got to start the show with the breaking news out of Philadelphia. The Eagles have lost a star player.
Oh, say it ain't so.
It is so.
Hassan Reddick traded to the Jets. Star pass rusher for the Philadelphia Eagles. Traded for a third round pick in 2026. Now, who is Hassan Reddick, you might be asking yourself. Only reigning defensive player of the year Myles Garrett and Hassan Reddick have four consecutive seasons with 10-plus sacks. Who is Hassan Reddick? Hassan Reddick is tied for fifth in the National Football League in sacks over the last 5 years with 52, behind the likes of T.J. Watt, defensive player of the year, Myles Garrett, defensive player of the year, tied with Max Crosby, who everybody knows how good he is. Who is Hassan Reddick? Hassan Reddick is the individual that ensured the Eagles would go to the Super Bowl 2 years ago because he knocked Brock Purdy out of the game, tearing Brock Purdy's UCL on his throwing arm as Brock Purdy was attempting to hit a wide open Deebo Samuel. Hassan Reddick has been a consistent force on the Eagles defense in the midst of inconsistency, both from play and from coordinators. That's who Hassan Reddick is. I want to weigh in with the Eagles' all-time rushing leader to my right. Honor, privilege to do the show with these two gentlemen. A lot of experience at this desk. 25 years of NFL experience, three Super Bowls up here. Shady, starting with you, how big a loss is Hassan Reddick? Do you like the trade?
I don't like it. I hate it.
I'm with you.
Right? I heard the rumors, right? And I'm like, I hope this is not true. Hassan Reddick is a hell of a player, right? And the best thing about him is he's a leader. And he's one of them dogs. Every team needs a dog to be successful. He's one of our dogs, and he's leaving us. But this is this thing right here, why I'm so nervous about this trade, or not trade, but this trade. Okay, so we had a chance to inquire Huff.
Bryce Huff
from the Jets. And as long as I remember, in football, your second contract should be the easiest contract you should get if you're a good player with your franchise. They see you every day, right? You're young, they draft you. So my thing is, okay, so we trade Hassan Reddick away, right, an older player, and we get a younger player. Seems kind of good, right? But I'm thinking about, why would the Jets let a younger player go if he's really, really good? That don't really add up to me. I don't understand that.
Didn't want to pay him, maybe. I don't know.
But you saying that they didn't want to pay him, but then everybody go pay Hassan Reddick. He going to get paid. So you going to take an older defensive player that's probably better, but he's still older. You're going to pay him more money than the younger guy that you already had in the building. That scares me. That lets me know that I don't know if Huff is as good as we think he is.
That's actually really good incel. I guess if I can translate that, it's the Jets had Bryce Huff undrafted. The Eagles have since acquired Bryce Huff. They signed him. But if the Jets had this defensive pass rusher in Bryce Huff, how good might Huff be if the Jets let him walk just to trade for Hassan Reddick? Hassan Reddick is an all-star. James, before I go to you, I want to make something clear for the viewers. Not all sacks are created equal.
No doubt.
Nope. What I mean by that is you can look at two individuals and they both have 10 sacks, but then turn on the tape. See, there are effort sacks and there are I beat you clean sacks. Shout out to effort sacks. Shout out to working hard and just grinding a guy and getting a sack. Shout out to that. But Hassan Reddick, he gets I beat you clean sacks. He gets two-hand swipe sacks. He gets speed to power sacks. He gets long arm sacks. He gets in-out-in sacks. He gets out-in-out sacks. Hassan Reddick has a wide variety of pass rush moves. That's why he has four consecutive seasons with 10-plus sacks in three different organizations. Arizona Cardinals 4 years ago, Carolina Panthers 3 years ago, Eagles, Eagles. Hassan Reddick gets it done, and the Eagles just lost him, James
Jones. Before I answer this, can I ask y'all a question? Because both of you guys played for Philadelphia. When they had the most success of getting to the Super Bowl, the defense was dominant.
Yeah.
And not just the defense was dominant, the D-line was dominant.
Set the record.
So, for me, you guys helped me figure out what is the GM and the coach thinking? Because Hassan Reddick is one of those dudes that, yes, 10 sacks is different, but his 10 sacks is different because he on the scouting report, like you said. So we got to chip him. Yeah. We got to make sure we're not necessarily doing that with Huff. So as the Eagles, if you guys can help me out, what are they thinking, knowing that this is how the football team was built when you guys went to the Super Bowl, and now it's not built like that?
Well asked.
And I was just wondering, maybe we want to get younger, right? Because I couldn't understand it. We're trading away an older player, so I get that part. Cool. But then when you trade in the way and you're getting the other guy back, and Huff, you paid him all this money in free agency, my thing is, well, why? Why didn't a team that had him, that see him every day...
Let him walk.
Let him walk. Yeah. That to me, like, certain things like that is, like, alarming. It's like, why would they do it? Mm-hmm. And then why would we get him? So I got to wait to see it. I just know that when I watch Hassan Reddick play on the edge, he's a difference maker.
No doubt.
Right? Huff, I'm waiting to see. I've seen some games. I think he works extremely hard, right? He's one of them try-hard guys, right? And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with
that. I play against some really good try-hard guys. But if you're asking me, I want dogs that got talent, that try hard, and they got talent.
Yeah, because to Shady's point, when you think about what the Eagles got essentially as a swap, Bryce Huff, shout out to his 10 sacks last year, but 17 and a half sacks in 4 years. Hassan Reddick had 16 sacks 2 years ago.
You see what I'm saying?
In 1 year.
And they see you every day. Why would they?
In 1 year. So it's fascinating. I will say that the Eagles team that we knew is no longer the Eagles team that exists.
No.
Because remember, that year that the Eagles had all of those sacks, you had Hassan Reddick had 16. Fletcher Cox, he had his 7. Yeah. Brandon Graham had a resurgence, had him 10+. This is a different Eagles team, a different Eagles defense. We will see what this Eagles defense is capable of.
But you know what this means to me, though, real quick? This shows me that now, Jalen Hurts, you got to earn that money now.
Man, that's where I was going.
You got to earn that money now.
This screams to me that we are an offensive football team.
Yeah.
We just got Saquon Barkley. We got two really good premier receivers. Mm-hmm. We have a really good tight end. We're an offensive team now. That's what this screams to me. So, you're right. Jalen Hurts, go make your money. Nick Sirianni, if your offense does not deliver, and who you just bring in there, Kellen Moore?
Kellen Moore.
Yeah, if your offense does not deliver.
Good coach, though. Good coach.
Kellen which Moore. Means this defense is built the way it's built now, which means that you're not strictly going to win games on defense. Your offense is going to have to deliver. And if it doesn't, you could be coaching somewhere else next year, brother.
Well, we had to exchange this tablet real quick because I just wanted to show the world just how good Hassan Reddick is. I don't know if they know.
They know
in Philadelphia, they know.
You need to see nothing else besides this play. And what y'all just saw was live television. If somebody cross screen, no big deal. Here is Hassan Reddick. That's the man right there. That's the bad man right there, bottom of your screen. What is the situation, family? Well, the situation was the NFC champion game, maybe the third most important game in Eagles franchise history, behind their two Super Bowls, if you will. Brock Purdy is trying to get busy. That's what Brock Purdy's trying to do. But Hassan Reddick is like, look, big dog, I'm not letting you get busy. Pass rush moves, wins clean, and that right there was what knocked Brock Purdy out of the game. That right there is what ensured the Eagles would go to the Super Bowl. That right there was the difference in the football game. Hassan Reddick, I gotta show you, he wins off legitimate pass rush move. He takes his two hands, then he goes arm over, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is what the Eagles are going to miss. Hassan Reddick, making quarterbacks pay. Well, you saw him right there hurt Brock Purdy, so let's talk a little bit about Brock Purdy. Shady, I know you're a big fan of Jed York. Jed York runs things over there in San Francisco.
A lot of respect over there.
Jed York, general manager, he had some interesting words about Brock Purdy, because y'all know what it is. Brock Purdy is eligible for a contract. Jed York said, quote, "It's a good problem to have when your quarterback is one of the highest paid guys on your team and in the league." Bring us on camera, family. Please, please, please. Shady, you played with great quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The greatest quarterbacks. You played with Tom Brady. You played with Patrick Mahomes. But let's focus on those two for a second.
Okay.
Because Brady and Mahomes both notably took less money than they probably could have commanded.
Yeah.
In order to keep talented rosters around them. Problem with the Niners, James Jones, LeSean McCoy, is when Brock Purdy gets paid the money he deserves, And he does deserve it. He's been to a Super Bowl and a conference championship. He may have been to two Super Bowls if not for that play I just showed you. If not for Hassan Reddick to weave all of this conversation together, Brock Purdy may have two Super Bowl appearances in 2 years in the NFL. Mm. So, Shady, do the Niners have a Brock Purdy problem, given you're going to have to pay this dude top-tier money, but there's still questions of if he's top-tier?
Yes, they do have a Brock Purdy problem, right? But that's a good problem to have. That means that your quarterback is playing very, very well, and he deserves some type of money. Now, when the question you asked me earlier before the show, I was like, man, how did I answer this question? Then I thought about it. We got to stop looking at Brock Purdy because of the game manager and this, that, and the third, and look at him as just a player. He's a quarterback.
Yep.
And you look at the market. I have a problem with sometimes looking at a player, what he's making. I had a problem with Baker Mayfield. Like, you going to get this guy three years, $100 million? Are you serious? But then you look at it, Daniel Jones making this, this guy making that. So it makes sense. Like, the top 15, I think that's fair. So when I look at the market, right, top 10 quarterbacks. Joe Burrow's at 55 annually a year, right? You got Herbert, you got Lamar Jackson, you got Jalen Hurts. I'm going to stop there.
Okay.
I think Jalen Hurts is a phenomenal player, right? I look at Jalen Hurts, I look at Brock Purdy in the same category as really good quarterbacks and good systems with better players around them.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
So when I ask, you ask the question, should he get paid? Is it a problem? Yeah, he should get paid. Now, where's the money going to stop at, though? Because if I look at a guy like Jalen Hurts, I think they're the same dude. If Jalen Hurts is making $51 million a year, Brock Purdy should be around there. I think they're the same guy. Took young quarterbacks with a lot of great players around them. They took the team to the Super Bowl, right? And they go through the other players compared to just going through them.
Yeah.
Okay? I look at Kyler Murray. Everybody might look differently about this. Kyler Murray is more talented, they say. First pick in his draft.
Yeah.
I would probably take Brock Purdy before I take Kyler Murray. And he's making $46 million a year. Deshaun Watson, we all know what he used to be. We all know what he used to look like. But right now, today, who would you rather take?
Yeah.
I'm taking Brock Purdy. He's making $46 million a year, and his whole contract is $230 million guaranteed. Mm. Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Brock Purdy today.
Yeah.
But he has an Achilles injury, and he is older. Yeah. Brock is still a young player. He's going to get better and better and better. I'm paying him that type of money.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, he's $45 million. We already know what that is. He's doing that for the team.
Yep.
And then the last one is Josh Allen, who we all know is way better than Brock Purdy. So if you're asking me where he should get paid and why should he get paid, look, Hurts got paid, Murray got paid, Deshaun Watson got paid, Kirk Cousins got paid. Yes, Brock Purdy should get his money.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
And Brock Purdy will get his money.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that question is yes. And let's just go back a little bit, right? Because in this year's draft, we're going to have quarterback.
Yep.
Quarterback,
that's
quarterback.
True.
That is true, right?
Yes.
Because you're trying to find a franchise quarterback. You know what the Niners did a couple years ago? They traded everything to go up and get a quarterback that did not have success, and they ended up trading him. You have your guy now. So the Niners are truly, truly blessed to be in this situation. Because if my man is not sitting behind Trey Lance, the Niners is in big trouble right now. So Brock Purdy is a blessing to the San Francisco 49ers, and the young man has earned his money. He is going to go out here next year and play well again in Kyle Shanahan's system because he does have a lot of great players around him, and he's a really good quarterback. So this is a really good problem for the Niners to have. He is going to make top dollar. If Jalen Hurts got $250 million, he finna get $280 million, whatever it may be. He is going to be up there.
I agree.
But it's a really good problem to have. And what these teams are doing now is, yes, Brock Purdy's going to make this money, but you're still going to be able to keep some of these players around him. You might not be able to keep every one of them, but you're going to be able to put a good football team around him. Jalen Hurts has really good pieces around him, and he already has his money. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to still be able to put really good pieces around him.
It is changing, though. Right? I think next year that team will look way different. Even this year, the defense looks different. Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
You talking about the quarterbacks getting money. When they get that money, no, things change a little bit.
Yeah.
The only thing I will say, what worked for the Eagles, and I will say it worked for the Niners, is we've overestimated the hemorrhaging that will happen to the Niners roster because the Niners draft well.
Yeah.
Don't let Trey Lance fool you. Fred Warner, third round pick.
Yep.
Dre Greenlaw, fifth round pick.
Mm.
George Kittle, fifth round pick.
Mm.
Hufanga, fifth round pick.
Mm.
Debo Samuel, second round pick. you found your starting safety, Tashawn Gibson, off the street.
Go to your quarterback.
He was off the street.
Go to your quarterback.
They drafted Brock Purdy, seventh-round pick. Yeah. So it's not as though the Niners are first-round picks, first-round picks. Their stars are not all first-round picks. Mm. I just named you all pros, fifth-round pick, fifth-round pick, fifth-round pick, second-round pick, third-round pick. We've overblown the dilemma. Yes, they got to pay Ayuk. Yeah. They absolutely have to pay Ayuk. But after you pay Ayuk, mm-hmm. what we found with the Niners is they know how to draft well. I think they'll be okay.
And not only that, just in the position that they are right now, if you pay Purdy, you have a good football team. It's not like you're paying Purdy and you have no pieces. Mm-hmm. So, like, you still have a really good football team. So if you may not be able to pay one of these guys, you go in the draft or you go in free agency and you try to fill that spot. But it's not like you have to fill five, six spots if you pay Brock Purdy. You have a really good team.
So I see that there's, like, some pushback or hesitation, I would say, with Brandon Ayuk getting his contract. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, like, does this some of this have to do with the future of Brock Purdy? Because he's going to get paid.
Yeah.
So, man, you got a top paid wide receiver in Deebo Samuels and two of them.
Yeah.
But when I look at the Niners when they play, they got some young dogs out there, though.
Right? What's number 15?
15. Yeah. Juwan Jennings.
He was man, the best one in the Super Bowl.
Yo, and he blocks.
Yeah.
We all talking about this route running all that. You know Kyle like moves that block to get dirty. So I just think that overall, when you start paying your quarterback, somebody ain't going to get paid. Mm-hmm. I don't know where Kittle's at on his contract, but, I mean, hello.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you start thinking about that. Then on defense, they like to pay them defensive players. That's what they love to do. I just think that if you pay the quarterback, you got to make sure that he's the guy, because look at the Eagles. Like, our team, we just traded Hassan Reddick, bro. Yeah. We just traded him today. Yeah. So that lets you know that it's serious. When you start paying the quarterback, everybody around you have to do their job. You have to draft better.
Yeah.
You have to do better in free agency, right? Get a really, really good player for cheap. These are the things that you have to do, because if you don't, every team can be like the Chiefs. Yeah.
And then Shady's exactly right, because when you think about the Eagles, Jordan Davis, thus far, he's underwhelmed.
Yep.
Defensive tackle, mm-hmm. but he's really a one-down defensive tackle because he can't really play on pass rush situations, second nor third down if it's second and long. You think about N'Kobe Demon at the linebacker position. Well, you were expecting to get more out of him. Yeah. He was wrestling with these injuries left and these injuries right. So when you think about the Eagles, they had to get impact players. Those first-round picks haven't necessarily made the impact that you needed them to make.
Yeah. And I'll give you one more point or a better example. The Chiefs. Right now, obviously, the Chiefs are a better team because what they have as coach and they have in the quarterback position. But Brett Veach, the GM there, and we're very tight. We've been tight since Philadelphia. And he says, man, the way that he tries to get his players is, because I was asking about certain players that I didn't think was that good. Like, how did he make the team? I won't say any names, but a lot of them's in the wide receiver room. And he said, well, I can't go out there and just get the best guy on the market because our quarterback makes a lot of money, right? We got to pay Chris Jones eventually. Yeah. He's going to make a lot of money. Travis Kelce, even though he's not number one or number two, but he's right up there. Yeah. So I can't pay guys like Ladarius Sneed when I really, really want to.
Yeah.
Who don't want to get rid of an all-pro corner? Mm-hmm. So he's saying, I have to draft well. Because if we don't, we can't compete.
Yeah.
And that's why when you look at the wide receiver room for the Chiefs, they did have a lot of drops there, right? They had the most drops in football. But
good talented players.
They had some good talented players, and that was the key to win Super Bowls. Yeah. If you're going to pay your quarterback at that big number, you got to have some good draft picks and some solid free agents.
And for me, I always feel that the receiver position is really one of the easiest positions to fill.
Oh, absolutely. You got an easy job. I mean, just catch the ball and run. Like, what?
Catch the ball and
what?
Run.
What? Are you kidding me?
I ain't saying all that. But what I'm saying is you have your Davante Adams. You have your Tyreek Hills. You have your Keenan Allen. You have your Jordy Nelsons, your Greg Jennings. These are second, fourth, fifth round picks. You know, so even if you are, I love Brandon Ayuk, but if you do not bring back Brandon Ayuk and pay him the top dollar, you're going to be able to draft some of these young dudes that you can develop and be able to get some good football out of. So receiver position, I'm all for getting dudes in that second.
Do you think they got to break up him and Deebo?
One of them going to be gone eventually.
And that's can we before we go to break, can we answer that question?
Yeah, I'll take Ayuk.
See, I said the same thing. I want the more wide receiver type, right? Every down. But then when I went to the game, right, and I see the excitement that Deebo brings, right, we never talk about momentum. We never talk about that.
I think it's real. I think it's
when
real.
When they have them stall out moments where they can't get nothing going on offense, right, when Kyle can't have those special plays going on, and McCaffrey can't give you that, right, which he normally does, but he can't.
Fly sweeps and all.
Bro, they go to Deebo.
Yeah. Yep.
And he'll get a reverse or a catch. He'll break two tackles. Yeah. He gets everybody
going. The question, though, Shady, is this.
To Deebo to bail out your quarterback.
Correct.
Once you start paying this quarterback that money, you got to go through your quarterback. You find Brandon Ayuk. He going to be open. Deliver the ball. You find Jennings. He's going to be
Kittle. Don't you think it's easier to find another Brandon Ayuk than another Deebo Samuel?
I agree. You can find you can find good wide receivers, good route runners and all that.
I do agree.
There's
no Debos in the
We talking about offense. I'm looking at the defense too.
Yeah.
Not only does Debo get the offense hype, he get the defense hype. Did you see that run? I watched it. Went to the game. No, I was in the owner box. I was watching like, dang, Jared, like this is what y'all getting going on. And once I seen how Debo plays and the excitement on offense and defense, I said they can't get rid of him. Because when you look at Debo, you look at him as a gadget player, as a great athlete. You don't see really wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So, like, why do they need him? Why do they pay so much? That's why, bro. Yeah. He's the heart and the backbone, I think, to that team.
There's some Brandon Ayuks in the draft.
Yeah.
There's no Debo in the league. There's no Debo Samuel.
That's a great point, yeah.
Is there a Debo Samuel in the league? I know we're doing this off the top of our head, so apology, we might omit somebody.
Nah, I mean.
I think they're like Debo, snack-sized Debos.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think like Rondale Moore is supposed to be that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? I think there's.
For the Packers.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Even Tyreek Hill, though, for a moment, before he came, he was that, though. Now he's like, he's everything.
Yeah. But Debo, I mean. The man line up at tailback, like in the I formation. Though. Yeah. not no play stuff. He getting runs coming downhill. He getting fly sweep. He's running routes. There's
can't find that, bro.
Nah. Okay, let me ask y'all this one.
In a mismatch.
Yeah, they don't.
Had they used this player I'm about to say correctly, would he have been Debo? Y'all don't yell at me. Cordell Patterson.
That's not a bad one. He's not as good as the wide receiver as Debo is. But I like Cordell Patterson. Yeah. He's a hell of an athlete, bro. From Tennessee.
Yeah.
He did all that with the Patriots. He did a lot of good things. Atlanta Falcons, the Patriots, he's really good.
I remember playing against him when he was at the Vikings. He lined up at tailback.
The Vikings, yo, I remember with the Eagles. I never even paid attention to special teams because I just never did.
That was a game we were talking about.
And I remember, kept the whole week.
Yes.
He was like this thing. We talking about Kim Turner.
I brought this up yesterday. Remember when we lost to the Vikings? I told the Kerry Williams story in the locker room.
Devin Hester.
That's a really good
We treated him like he was God. All right, next.
Cordell run that ball, too.
When we return, we got to head back to the locker room. If you've never been in an NFL locker room, allow us to ours. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, who should start? We're going to give you the unfiltered pro football talk conversation of it all. That's next. Don't forget, check us out every day on the Fox Sports Channel on SiriusXM.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, bro, so who you like, man? I like Phil.
She crazy, though. She talking about Netflix and chill. She talking about Netflix and chill. You already know. hey, Coach, show with extra hour of practice. You don't give me a charm pill. Hey, look, hey
family, if you've never been in an NFL locker room, allow us to invite you into... Hold on.
Hit that.
Allow us to invite
you. Selfie, you already know, for the gram. Go for the gram. My man.
Allow us to invite you into our locker room. We got to talk about the really most polarizing topic in all of the NFL right now. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. Mm. They're both in the quarterback room for the Philadelphia Eagles. But, fellas, look, it's just us. Coaches ain't here. OC ain't here. We just talking. You play quarterback. You play receiver. You play running back. Who you want to start, man? Fields, Russ.
I ain't going to trip, man. Like, Coach tripping today. Yeah. He talking about get Justin Fields some of the one reps.
He's talking like, why?
He said that?
Do you want to win or not?
I'm going with Russ. It's not even a question. I want a guy that's proven. I want a guy that can win. I want a guy that played better last.
Yep.
The last time we watched Justin Fields play, he didn't play that well. He had a couple good moments.
Yeah.
But who don't have good moments in football? I want Russ. Before Russ got benched for the injury guarantee, he beat some good teams.
True.
I see him send home Josh Allen on the road. I've seen that.
Yeah.
I see him beat the Super Bowl champs, the Chiefs. He beat them. I seen that. I witnessed it. So when you ask me this question, who you want to be the quarterback, I want the improving winner, a guy that knows how to physical to be a champion, to go to the Super Bowl, right? And then you want to talk about game management, right? Because I think that the Steelers have a good defense, great special teams, right? Or great defense, good special teams.
Yep.
And you have a solid offensive line, right? Some running pieces with the running backs, some good wide receivers. You got a quarterback. And it might be like a games management situation. I want Russ. I seen Russ at elite level at managing games for the Seahawks. And the best Russ, I think, ever watching him play was not the cooking Russ. It was Russ is managing the game, not making mistakes in winning games.
Yeah, so if you're going to manage the game, give me the young fella. Give me Justin Fields. All day long, right? Now you have to
make sure you play some defense to cover his legs. Now you got to play some defenses to cover his arm because he can throw.
Arm?
He can throw. And the main reason why I say he can throw, Shady, because we're in the locker room right now, because the first year he had a true number one receiver, him and his number one receiver had more yards than Russell Wilson and any of his number one receivers. Mm-hmm. Ever. Mm-hmm. DK.
Yep.
Lockett. Go down the line. Judy. Sutton. Everybody. Him and his number one combined for more yards and more touchdowns than all them dudes. So he can throw the ball.
And more losses.
He made DJ Moore better. That is true. But we're talking about Pittsburgh Steelers, who is built the right way to where you do not have to carry a team. You have a really good defense. Justin Fields gives you more than Russell Wilson right now. However you
but want. Let me ask y'all, because I'm confused.
Family, I'm confused
at home. Justin Fields gives you more at his height, but he also can give you way less.
Wait, when you say height, you mean like tall? Because he's taller.
No, that's height because we've seen him play.
Bro, it's not that good.
But he can give you way less. Justin Fields' floor is lower than Russell Wilson's floor. But I do think Justin Fields' ceiling is higher than Russ's ceiling right now.
Why? Because he aged? Why would you say that?
Nah, I think like if I were to say, hey, they both were to play their best games. Mm-hmm. I think Justin Fields' best game right now is better than Russ's best game.
I don't believe
it. But Justin Fields' worst game is, woo.
Can I ask you a question?
Who?
The defender up here, not
talk
you.
Talk to me.
Not you. If you were playing Mike linebacker and you're getting ready to go play the Pittsburgh Steelers and doing your scouting report and watching film, who would you rather go against, Fields or Russ?
I would. It's a nuanced answer. I would rather go against Russ, obviously.
Thank you.
But
why?
But here's what we would say. Here's what we would say. I'll answer your question first.
Yeah.
I'd rather go against Russ because once you're in your cover three drop mm-hmm. and you're 12 yards deep, you're 2 yards outside the hash, that's usually where the dig route's completed. Once you're in your cover three drop, Russ isn't going to tuck and run and scare you.
Thank you.
Justin Fields might tuck and run and scratch off on you. However, in defensive meetings, we would say this. Hey, you know Fields going to throw you one. Hey, be ready. Hey, you know Fields going to throw you.
There you go.
Hey,
there you go.
Hey, on that dig, he's not going to see you. Hey, that cover four drop, act like you're going to run to the flat, cut back, and he's going to throw you that slant. He ain't going to see the Mike linebacker. That's the difference. So, I won't say that about Russ.
And to piggyback what you're saying, because I agree with that, like, he's going, as a linebacker, the coach said, hey, look, I want y'all to get extra jug practice today. We're like, why? Because we're going to get Justin Fields.
Yep. Yeah.
You have a chance to get a pick.
You're going
to
get a pick.
But then if you ask a defensive coordinator, right, who's scarier to go against? Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes? And he's going to tell you
Lamar.
Who's better? Because they're not close.
That's what I'm trying to say.
When you go against an athletic quarterback, of course, he can run and all that, and he got size. But, man, the game is throwing the ball, man, which he cannot do.
True. Yeah, but even you got me on that one.
Now you can tell that's a lot of people on TV on the set. He'd be like, yo, nah.
You got me, bro.
Because
I done brought that point up a couple of times and people done, what you talking about? You rather go against Lamar? I'm just telling you.
I'll tell you this. The scariest quarterback, scariest probably defensively we ever had a game plan for, Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
Terrell Pryor. Because before we played the Raiders, we saw Terrell Pryor have an 87-yard touchdown
against the Steelers.
Run.
Palomalo, he smoked him.
87 yards, and I was like, yo, I ain't trying to get. Now, was Terrell Pryor even. Terrell Pryor didn't play court. He finished his career as a receiver.
Yeah. Right.
But when you talk about, like, who you scared to go against, so I'm scared to go against Fields, but Russ is better. But, Shady, let me ask you this. If you got Russ, you already know you're probably not winning a Super Bowl because Russ can't out-duel Josh in any way. Right now, he can't out-duel Pat, can't out-duel Lamar. But don't you at least think Justin Fields could scat off for 60. He could scat off for 65.
Yo, my man.
I do agree with
that. Wait, let me get the question right.
Yes.
Since we're in the locker room, right? So the question you asked me was, say that again, because
meaning like, Russ is
No, ask the same way. Ask the same way.
If you got Russ, he's not out-dueling Josh.
He's not.
He's not out-dueling Pat. Mm-mm. He's not out-dueling Lamar.
Mm-mm.
But don't you think Justin Fields could scat off for 60? Could scat off for 65? The Chiefs got everybody covered, and Fields just tuck and run.
And how long that's going to last for? I thought you going to do that. This is a serious question, though. I'm not even trying to, we joke about Justin Fields. I think he's a phenomenal athlete, right? When I seen him in person, like, he's bigger than I thought, right?
Yeah,
and he's faster than I thought.
Yeah, very true.
But in the quarterback position, you got to throw the ball sometimes, man. Mm-hmm. I watched some of the games he had some success. They in a common cover three, mm-hmm. as generic as possible. Mm-hmm. And he waits, holding the ball so long. Eventually, the wide receivers, he makes some guys miss. Wide receivers wide open. Yeah. Takes so long to throw it to him. Now, everybody's going to parade and brag about, oh, man, he threw a 40-yard bomb. Boom. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. But if you're on time, that's a touchdown. I just think when I watch him play, he's played enough games. He's played almost 40 games, and I haven't seen a lot of growth. I haven't. Where other quarterbacks that's younger, I've seen him get better and better and better. And if you're going to put him as your quarterback for your team to win, it's like, what are we talking about?
I agree, especially when you're talking about timing throws. You know, when you talk about timing throws on your back foot, third step, fifth step, whatever ball coming out, that's not his game. That's not his game.
What's his game?
That's not his game. His game is creating. He's going to get outside the pocket. He will make throws. But as an offensive coordinator, if I'm an offensive coordinator, I want to call plays for Fields. There's so much more open in the playbook for Fields than there is Russ.
It's like playground. It's like that's playground. What I'm saying is, this is not fantasy football here, bro. I don't want to get my time.
So much more you can do.
But my thing is, like, when you got a quarterback like that, it's just like backyard football. Hey, man, go out there and that's what it is.
But it's like, I want to call plays for Fields, but I don't want Fields to run them.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, what you mean? Because I know where he's going.
I want Fields' talent because I love Fields' ability to call those plays, but I don't trust Fields to execute those plays. That's it. So I hear you saying, like,
games
I want
he
Fields.
Lost, bro. We watched,
that's my point.
They had the lead and he lost
but
it.
Like, I would love to call plays for a dude that can run a 4-4 and throw the ball 65 yards.
That's a good point.
But the dude who's running a 4-4 and throwing the ball 65 yards might throw it to the other team. So I love calling plays for him, but I don't necessarily want him to run them.
So how long? Because I don't think he's far off. He's not far off from being a good passer to know exactly where to go with the ball. So if he does get with Pittsburgh and he does do that, what you going to do? Because I understand that coach saying no quarterback. But if you're watching this man like, ooh, wait, this week he got, man.
Is that what he, when you watch him, is that what he does to you? You say, ooh, wait,
I believe he can get better at throwing the football.
I agree with that. Of course he can get better.
We all hope that is.
Yeah.
But
now you're on a team to where you don't have to do it all.
Bro,
if he gets better throwing the football, he is going to be a really good quarterback.
And they say the same thing about a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Most bad quarterbacks is like that. If he can just throw the ball a little better, it's everybody.
He does make throws, though. His receiver just
But you're in a league. Of course, you can make throws.
We need this take on Sundays, God's day. All this faith and hope and all this craziness.
Hey, I think we got team meeting, y'all. Yeah, We got team meeting.
Make sure
I do that. Hey, Coach said meeting.
Okay.
All right, man, after the team meeting, we're going to see y'all on the other side of the commercial break because what in the world is going on with Daniel Jones?
Put the outfit on our light.
Thing in the NFL. What we love to see is good quarterback play, but the Giants, they haven't seen it in a while. Daniel Jones, he got a new contract before the start of last season, but then he got hurt. Family, it is an amazing quarterback draft class. If you care about the NFL, you care about the conversation we're about to have because the New York Giants are in a bind. Drake May, top quarterback prospect, is set to work out for the Giants in the coming days. But owner John Mara said of his team, quote, if they fall in love with a quarterback that they believe is worth the number 6 pick or moving up, he would certainly support that. Here's what's crazy, though, Shady.
Yeah.
They just paid Daniel Jones.
Danny Dimes.
Literally, yesterday. They just paid him. And now they already talking about moving off of him. Is it time for the Giants to give up on DJ?
Is it time? What are we talking about? He should never had a time. He should never had a clock, never had a watch. He's not that good of a player. When I seriously say this, man, people think I'm crazy, but I would never in my life go to Duke to go get a football player. I would never go to Duke to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
Not basketball, anything's possible. Grant Hill, you got a lot of guys. Duke for football? Why? Who does that? So then even when we watch him over the years look average, I couldn't even say average. Some years he didn't look average.
Yeah.
At his best. A little bit above average.
Yeah.
And then we go to give him money, we go to get paid. It's crazy. I think we have a guy like Brian Daboll, anything is possible because he's that smart of a coach. I watched him take Josh Allen, who's super talented, to a whole nother level. So I understand it. Mm-hmm. But this guy, man, everybody that we watched come in there as a backup outplayed this dude.
Yeah.
So when you ask me, is it his time? It's been over, right? I want to get this dude a dollar, maybe some Snickers and some fries, but come on, man. A contract?
What is, what's the main goal in the National Football League? What are we trying to accomplish?
First of all, to be a good player. That's just the first thing.
That's the first thing.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Second, like, let your mom and dad be proud of you,
second,
though.
Second thing, they said, okay, we believe you are a good player, so we gave you this money, Shady.
Yeah, that's facts.
You know what I mean? So that's at least that's what they're saying, right? So you, looking in the mirror, think you're good, and the Giants think you're good. But the ultimate goal is to win a championship.
True.
Bang.
You're not winning a championship with Daniel Jones, period. If you gave up on Mac Jones, if you gave up on Justin Fields, it's time to give up on Daniel Jones, period. Man. So my main thing is go into this draft, get you a quarterback that you think you can develop and can help you win a championship. What we've seen from Daniel Jones over his career, he is not winning you a championship. His best year that we all bragged about that he got paid on, they won 9 games. So Daniel Jones is not the type of quarterback that is going to take you to a Super Bowl. It's time to move on and go find your young
question for both of y'all, though. Fellas, let's talk real. We got the viewers watching. Y'all spending y'all day with us. So let me ask the athletes these important questions. The Giants don't have talent on offense. You don't have Saquon. At wide receiver, you don't have anybody that you can get crazy happy about. You drafted Hyatt last year. I believe you still have Shepard. I believe you still have Slayton, but nobody that's scaring defenses. So you need a lot, Shady. You got the 6th overall pick.
That is true.
You know what you could get for that 6th overall pick? Because the Raiders, they need that 6th overall pick.
That is true.
The Vikings, they need that 6th overall pick. You got the 6th overall pick. Should you move out of it? Hey, you know what? We'll keep DJ for one more year. Mm. Let's load up on picks. Let me go draft a receiver. It's a heavy receiver class.
Yep.
Let me see if I can now maybe go draft a running back in the second or the third. Or do you draft a quarterback at number 6, knowing it's not Caleb, it's probably not Jaden Daniels, and it's probably not Drake May? What you doing, 2-5? What you doing?
It's a tough one, man. I hate to be the Giants, right? You gave up your best player to the Eagles, your rivals, which I'm happy and thankful for that. I mean, but, like, nobody's going to knock on the door and ask for a Daniel Jones. Nobody wants him, right? So now you're asking, what do you do? So you're saying keep that pick or trade it and maybe
– back.
But everything you talked about, how the Giants are not that talented team, they don't have that much on offense, not wide receivers, they don't have that much in the running backs now. But even saying all that, he's still your worst position.
Mm.
So when you ask this question, I don't know. They don't know.
No, that's a really good question, because basically what you're saying is, with Daniel Jones, without Daniel Jones, you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
So for me, I would trade out of it. What can I get for this number 6 pick? How many first rounders can I get for this number 6 pick to build my roster? And then maybe I could put together a really good roster and then draft me a quarterback next year and let Daniel Jones play. But we got to understand, too, Daniel Jones is coming off of an ACL injury.
And he's a runner.
And who did they sign behind him? Drew Locke.
Yeah.
So it ain't even necessarily saying that he's going to start this thing starting. So for me, I understand what you're saying. If I could get some really good value for that number 6 pick to be able to put some good players on my football team.
There's some value in that.
Oh, yeah.
But that's one player. Oh, you're talking about trading for it.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I would trade and try to get some more players. So now, if I have a young quarterback coming in here, or if I can go into free agency next year, knowing that I got a solid roster, get me a free agent quarterback and put him on a good team.
My only question I want to ask, my pushback is, so let's say you trade this 6 pick to get more talent. That means you got to play with him as your quarterback?
Yeah.
Like, you just doomed for
the
game. And then another thing is, I learned this about playing a game, right? Coaches and GMs, ownership, they have their own way of thinking, right? But they always come to some of the veterans to see what's the vibe in the locker room. Because they don't know. They ain't out there. They're not in the locker room like we were just talking. They don't know that. So they ask guys like myself or Mahomes or all that, what's the vibe in there? And I'm going to tell you the truth, coach. They pissed off. Why are they pissed off? Well, you decide to pay Daniel Jones from Duke, who's not good, and most players from Duke aren't that good. You decide not to pay our best player, our best offensive player, the Saquon Barkley. So guys are upset. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, how can we win if he's our quarterback? Because you're telling the players in the locker room that, why should we take it serious and come on practice and practice hard, be on time, study hard for the games when y'all don't care enough to put the right players to win?
They're showing you they're not taking it that serious.
But that's what I'm saying. As a player, when the coaches make decisions like paying Daniel Jones, like making him the starter, like making him a captain, you're saying, you know what? I shouldn't care about this league because y'all don't care about this team.
So my thing is you just signed Burns. You traded and you signed
Burns.
That's a great move. On the other side.
Yep. Big move. Dexter Lawrence.
All on defense.
So
keep going.
For me, you got some solid pieces on the defensive side. What's Big Dog in the middle?
Dexter Lawrence.
Dexter Lawrence.
He's a hell of a player.
So that's a solid defensive line.
Okay.
So now let's try to go.
I would trade the sixth pick. Let's go try to build this defense up. Let's play through our defense. We know our quarterback ain't that good, right? But let's go trade that pick, get some more picks, try to build this defense up. We lost our safety to the Packers.
Yep, you know,
so let's go build on this defense. And then next year, we got some pieces. Let's go
draft
our quarterback.
If that was the move, and I love what you just said, but you doing all that with the defense, what goes great with a defense and a bad quarterback?
Yeah.
Run game.
A run game. And what did y'all just do?
Let the running back go.
And he came weird?
Drive one.
He can't get it. You see, so it's like the formula you trying to run, you're not doing
it. Yeah, y'all not even doing that.
You know what? Call me. Because Joe, my man. I'm in Buffalo.
So you tell us. You play for the coach. You play for Dayball.
And the GM.
You tell us what Dayball's thinking. Too. Like, Dayball had Josh Allen. So for him to come over here, and you a big fan of Dayball, to think that Daniel Jones is the guy, what do you think he's thinking?
You know what
right
it was?
Now?
I know he didn't like Danny Dimes. I know he didn't like him. I know it for sure. Not because he told me this, but this, I know how good he is. The kid can't play. But when he has some success with him, Brian Daboll is a confident coach.
Yeah.
And he should because he's really, really good. And the things he's done with Josh Allen, the things he's done with some of them backups, I'm like, oh, wow. Even Tyrod Taylor. I thought he was good, but he looked way better with Daboll. So Daboll, in his mind, he can change anybody. And I think with coaches, good coaches, they always think Andy Reid's another one like that. I don't care who you bring me. He's going to be better with me than with anybody else. I think when he had Daniel Jones and they went to the playoffs and they had a successful year and they won with that talent, he's like, I could do this another time, another time. But Daniel Jones is real awful. Can't do that with him. He's bad, bad.
Well, staying in the NFC East, there is a shocking trade with the Philadelphia Eagles. One of their star players is out of there. Hassan Reddick, the only player not named Myles Garrett to have 10 sacks in 4 consecutive years, is on the move, going from Philly to New York, joining the Jets. We're getting the breaking inside scoop from NFL insider Jordan Schultz after the break. He'll give us all the details of how it happened and what happened. That's next. Family, breaking news today and absolutely breaking. The Eagles have lost star pass rusher Hassan Reddick. This dude has 10 plus sacks in 4 consecutive seasons. Only reigning defensive player of the year, Myles Garrett, can say the same. Remember, just 2 years ago, the Eagles had the third most sacks in the history of football, and Reddick led that team with 16 of them, and now he is gone. This is a huge loss. I just told you all the what, Hassan Reddick gone, but I got to bring in Bleacher Report's Jordan Schultz, an absolute astonishing breaking news insider, to tell us the why. The how. Schultz, please give me the details of this crazy trade that literally just shocked us.
Well, about 6 weeks ago, Acho, I reported that Hassan did not request a trade, but really wanted to be taken care of. He said, I'm a Philly guy, but I need a new contract. He's 29 years old. He's an all-pro. You mentioned over the last 5 years, he's been one of the best pass rushers in football. 52 sacks. That's only behind TJ Watt, Nick Bosa, Myles Garrett. I mean, that's the type of player that Hassan Reddick is. So you can take all that into consideration. Also, the fact that the Jets just lost Bryce Huff to Philly, and now it starts to make sense. Now, I was surprised, and I think Hassan might have been a little surprised that this deal got done today. I was told earlier in the day they had good negotiations between the Eagles and Jets, but that they weren't necessarily imminent. So somehow this thing gets over the finish line. And now you have a situation, too, that's worth considering, where this is not a luxurious need scenario where he goes to Tennessee and he already has a mega extension already done. This is something that will take a little bit of time. Hassan Reddick is going to get a new contract extension, I believe, but they're nowhere near that point at this conjecture.
Schultz, this is what's confusing to me, and viewers, it should be confusing to you as well. Ladarius Sneed, when you leave a team like the Chiefs that are Super Bowl champs and you go to more of an ambiguous team, the Tennessee Titans, you do so to get paid. When players leave organizations and go to organizations that they know aren't typically as good, you do so for money. The contract is imminent. But Schultz, you're telling me Hassan Reddick does not have a deal already ready? Like, the ink should currently be drying as you and I are talking.
That's why I was surprised that this deal got done today, because I thought, like you mentioned, Acho, with Sneed, that if it was going to happen, that he would already have the contract in place. I can tell you they have not really had those discussions yet. Now, that doesn't mean it won't pick up soon, but they're not there yet. And you're talking about a guy who has 21 quarterback hits per year over the last four seasons. And he's also extremely durable. He's missed one game, Macho, one game throughout his entire career. So he's on the field. He plays a lot of snaps. He's a three-down pass rusher, really good against the run as well. And when I talked to him, I want to go back to 6 weeks ago, I said, what's the most important thing to you? He said, I want to win, but I want to be valued. I want to be taken care of because that's how I have done so with the Eagles. So now he goes a little bit of a hopscotch thrown away to the Jets, a franchise that has not had any winning, to your point, but is building a really good defensive line with Quinnen Williams, Jermaine Johnson. They obviously have good backers, really good secondary with Reed and Sauce. But this, hopefully for them, is the missing piece. But again, they are not at the finish line or anywhere close to an extension. I have to believe that happens.
Here's why I am confused. Here's why I am very confused. Why would the Philadelphia Eagles not just pay him? He's one of the best pass rushers in football. He's 29 years of age, but he's only been in the league, if I'm not mistaken, for maybe six or so years. So it's not like he has a ton of tread on his tires. The last 2 years, 11 sacks, 16 sacks. So you're talking about a guy who also has, what is that, 27 sacks over the last 2 years, been in the league for 7 years, mm-hmm. my mistake. Why in the world would you let go of a player who I would suggest is in his prime? Why'd Howie Roseman of the Eagles do it?
I think they really wanted to get younger. That's why they went with Bryce Huff, who's 26, who has less tread on his, or more tread on his tires, because he only plays about 30% of the snaps. And they want to give Nolan Smith an opportunity. They believe in their young pass rushers. But I was surprised too. And I talked to an AFC GM right after it happened. He texted me, great move for the Jets. Great. All caps. I'm surprised. This is not a classic Howie Roseman move. That doesn't mean it's not going to work out for him. They're going to get a high comp pick, but clearly they wanted to go younger. They did not want to pay Hassan Reddick into his 30s. That's really the only logical explanation, but I'm with you, Acho. Pass rushers, especially great ones, don't grow on trees. And to lose out on Hassan Reddick in his prime, you mentioned 10-plus sacks every year. He plays every snap. To me, is a big mistake.
All right, here's a question. He's tied for fifth in sacks with Max Crosby. He's behind Bosa. He's behind Trey Hendrickson. He's behind, of course, Myles Garrett. When you think about what those players could have acquired in a trade, it would have been more than a third-round pick. It would have been way, way more than a third-round pick if Bosa, Watt, Crosby, Garrett, Hendrickson were to be moved off of. Why in the world did Hassan Reddick only get a third-round pick, my brother?
Well, I think all those guys are younger, so that matters, 25, 26. But also Hassan Reddick, for whatever reason, isn't a household name. He wasn't a top 10 pick. It took him a few years going into Carolina and Arizona to really have that type of success. And then he really exploded the last three seasons in Philly. But I've asked him that, too. I said, does it bother you that you're not a household name? And really, he just wants to be valued. So I don't know if it bothers him, but you talk about production. There are certain guys in every sport that, for whatever reason, Acho, don't get the type of flowers they deserve. When it's all said and done, Hassan Reddick is probably going to be on the fringe of becoming a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying he is one, but when you've been to multiple All-Pros, win a Super Bowl or two, you start to enter that discussion. That's how dominant he's been. So to your point, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. And I really want to double down on this. I was really surprised, and I didn't think it made a lot of sense for Philly to make this deal.
Absolutely invaluable insight from one of the best in the business right now. That's Bleacher Report's insider, Jordan Schultz. Schultz, I always appreciate your family. I will see you in person next week, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we beefing.
I need my dinner, man.
Shady says y'all beefing. You owe him some dinner still. That's not surprising. Shady got everybody losing bets and whatnot. When we return, Caleb Williams is clapping back at the critics. I didn't love what he said. You're probably not going to like it. I got to tell you anyway, on the other side of the commercial break. I'll see you soon, family. Now, Caleb Williams, he caused a social media stir, family, when he was seen earlier this week with pink nail polish and a pink cell phone case. Well, Caleb responded to his critics. Take a listen.
Well, it's been a long week for you. Lucky you got me, though. Let's see what that phone looks like. What the phone looks like? Let's see what color the phone is.
The wallet white.
The wallet's white.
Phone is pink. Case is clear.
What the fingernails look like?
Nails are clear. Lips are pink. Your girl love them.
Your girl love him, he say.
Okay, this is fascinating. Caleb Williams obviously has caused a lot of drama unnecessarily, if we're being honest. Let me paint the picture for you at home. Relax back into your chair for a second. It'll take a while.
Let me get relaxed, man.
Caleb Williams lost 3 out of 4 games this season, his last season in college, and was seen jumping into the stands as his mom caressed the top of his head with his helmet on, and Caleb Williams was seen crying profusely. Then after the game, he goes to the podium. That's him crying in his mother's arms. He goes to the podium after the loss and simply says, I want to go home, watch movies, and cuddle my dogs. Then Caleb Williams is seen with pink nail polish and a phone case. Obviously, we know that he paints his nails. He is the projected number one overall pick, an absolute bona fide talent. He is a stud. But, James, I want to start with you because you play receiver. So more than anybody, you have to deal with quarterbacks. Okay. Now, you've played with some very interesting characters at quarterback. And Brett Favre has had lots of controversy on and off the field. And Aaron Rodgers has had lots of controversy on and off the field. Caleb Williams, a little bit of controversy, if you want to call it that, off the field. So what do you like Caleb Williams' response to the critics? You know, girl likes him.
Why? Be who you are, bro. Like, why you even got to respond to the critics? Be who you are. You're going to have this for the rest of your career. You're about to be the number one overall pick. You know what's what matters? When you were saying Brett Favre, I said, my dog. You said Aaron Rodgers, I said, my dog. Come in here, man, and go to work, right? We are trying to win some football games. You can throw this football and play this game at a high level. Come in here and go to work. One thing that I will say is you're not going to win every game. You are going to have some bad games. It is going to be ups and downs. We need you to step up to this podium and be a leader. We don't need you to step up to this podium and say some of the stuff that y'all have been saying or point some fingers or doing it at, because that's how you're going to lose the locker room too. Be who you are. Everybody ain't going to like it. And we all know that. But you are the quarterback. Pat your chest. My bad. Earn the respect of your teammates. And come in there and do your job, and you're going to be just fine, man. So all this stuff, pink phone, nails, all this, you ain't even got to respond to them dudes. Be you. At the end of the day, when you come in the locker room and do your job, they're not going to be worried about what color your phone is if you're helping us win some games.
Shady, before you respond, can we see the clip once again, please? If you're at home and you missed it, turn your volumes up. I want y'all to see exactly what it was that Caleb Williams just said. Take a listen.
It's been a long week for you. Lucky you got me, though. Let's see what that phone look. What the phone look like? Let's see what color the phone is.
Wallet white.
The wallet is white.
Phone is pink. Case is clear.
What the fingernails look like?
Nails are clear. Lips are pink. Your girl love them.
Your girl love him, Shady McCoy. You play with a lot of quarterbacks. You play with a lot of different personalities. I cannot wait to hear what you have to say about this. You like Caleb responding to the critics.
I mean, it's kind of corny, I'm going to be honest, right? Because I like Caleb, so I'm going to be honest. But I think he's just trying to find himself where, like, everybody has something to say about him, and he's always trying to, like, correct it. But he's got to be himself. You can't worry about if your nails is painted or if you're crying. Who cares? Caleb, you're one of the best prospects in the draft for a reason. You're number one pick. That's why you don't have to do anything at the combine, because you're that good. I just think that he needs to just let it alone. Like, he's getting so much attention, and everybody's trying to pick for something about him. Like, oh, he's doing this wrong. He's doing this wrong. He's that good that people want to talk about him. I would just give him advice of, look, man, you're that good. Do what you want to do. You don't gotta try to, like, make everybody happy. There's going to be some people that didn't like the way I talked to him or the way I played or the way I talked to coaches or talked to my teammates. That's just part of being in the game. Only thing he can do is go there and be the hell of a quarterback that he is. He's really, really good and talented. And that's all that matters. I feel like he's trying to please everybody, right? Like, even their response. I seen people text me, yo, you see Caleb Williams, his phone case is pink or this and that. So what? Right? I'm not going to go up here and bash him for that. I play with a lot of different interesting people.
No question.
Good and bad. One thing we cared about is how do we be good teammates and how do we win? I think he could do both of them things. So I would just tell him, you don't got to answer to none of these people, man. You don't got to give no corny response. The response is corny. Be yourself and keep it moving.
But Shady, let's be honest for a moment, and I'll be vulnerable if I can in front of this audience, if I will.
Don't cry, though. I'll just vulnerable.
I do be vulnerable and all that.
I feel like what you're saying is much harder to do,
right? I'm 33 years old, and even I get pierced by the vitriol of comments I see on social media. I remind everybody, Caleb Williams was nothing but beloved for 24 straight months. He takes over for Spencer Rattler 3 years ago. Spencer Rattler, Heisman favorite at Oklahoma. Caleb takes over. Oklahoma wins 11 games. They dominate. Caleb leaves to go to USC with Lincoln Riley. He brings USC its first Heisman since Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. You're talking the early 2000s. Everybody loved Caleb Williams. Caleb could do no wrong. At Oklahoma, he went, I believe, 11-2. At USC, his first year, he went 11-2. But then, family, this last year occurred. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be the first player to win back-to-back Heisman since Archie Griffin, I think, Ohio State, Andy, 1974 and 75, or 73 and 74. That's who Caleb was supposed to be. He beats Colorado, but then after that, the train goes off the tracks. You lose to Oregon. You lose to Washington. I believe you lose to Utah. You lose to Notre Dame. Lose 3 games in 4 weeks. Now you're crying to your mom. Now, Shady, he goes from being the most beloved character to one of the most polarizing characters, and everybody has something to say. So while I hear you, you've been the 20-year-old superstar. How hard is it, and James, coming to you shortly after, how hard is it to ignore the noise?
I mean, like, you got to know who you are, right? Like, for example, when I got on TV, right, I was kind of raw, still a little raw, right? And I speak from the heart. And I may say some things about players, and players might not like it, but viewers and some people don't like it. It's their team, their fan base. And I had a million things on social media about this and that and the third. But you know what I do? I don't look at none of the bad, Acho. But guess what? I don't look at none of the good. Because I don't need you to tell me I'm good. I know I'm good. On the field or off the field. If it's things I might do bad, cool. I know I'm going to do some bad. So I never let the outsiders affect me.
What about at 21? What about at 20? To go back to your rookie year behind Brian Westbrook.
I'm going to tell you again, man. Listen, I might have had a phase. I remember when they were writing up stories like, well, who's LeSean McCoy? He got a little boy body. He's 20 years old in the league. I was the youngest dude in the league at the time. We leaving Brian Westbrook. We let him go. He's going to be the starter. That hit me a little bit. But I told you what happened. When that dude said that, I said, I can't believe he said that. When I seen the reporter, I ran up on him. I was about to say, hey, man, why you? And I looked at him like, you can't give me an opinion about me. He had a whole stomach. He had these big, thick glasses. Yeah. You like my man. So that was the first lesson. And my dad was like, yo, how are you about to check this dude? Did you look at him? You going to tell me about being a good player? You going to tell me about having some swag? You going to tell me about attitude? So that was my first lesson. So after that, can't nobody tell me nothing good or bad about me because I'm not even listening. Yeah. So you can't offend me. Yeah. And that was like the first test I had.
And that's good. And that's good too, because it's all about knowing who you are and not really tripping mm-hmm. off what everybody says. And you're right, Acho. All that is easier said than done because some of this stuff can't get up under your skin. For me, I didn't care nothing about the outside. The only people that I really cared about they respect was my teammates. Mm-hmm. That's it. Any reporter, media, you on Instagram, Twitter, whatever you on, I didn't care about none of that. I never read none of my press clippings, good or bad. I didn't care nothing about none of that. The only thing I truly wanted to do is earn the respect of my teammates. That's all I cared about. If my teammates was like, dang, man, JJ out here balling, that meant something to me. If a reporter said, I don't care none of you saying. But with Caleb Williams, that's why I'm saying just come in and work and earn the respect of your teammates. Those is the only people that I really cared about how they looked at me as a teammate and as a person. All this other stuff outside, off the field, everybody having their own opinion, that's going to happen.
Yeah, well said. Well, speaking of respective teammates, Steve Kerr, not Draymond Green's teammate, but his coach, said that his actions earlier this week were unforgivable. Draymond Green got ejected roughly 5 minutes into a game 3 days ago, and his coach was not pleased. Well, the Warriors are back on the court tonight, and Draymond Green will be there. But is he doing more harm than help? That's next on Speak. Draymond Green ejected in the first 4 minutes of the Warriors game on Wednesday for yelling at the refs. And the crazy thing is, he was yelling at the refs after an Andrew Wiggins foul. But his head coach, Steve Kerr, was asked about the Draymond Green incident and Steph Curry's reaction to it all. And his comments were interesting. Take a listen.
Every game being so important and, us fighting for everything and then for Draymond to get kicked out 3 minutes in. It was really unforgivable. You know, I think Steph may have even been a little upset with himself for not pulling Draymond out of there.
fellas to my left, fella to my right, I believe Draymond Green is doing more harm than he is help at this point in time. And Shady, Draymond Green is offending one of the 10 commandments of the locker room. And y'all will know this one after I say it. One of the 10 commandments of the locker room is don't ever make your teammates have to answer for you.
That is it.
Don't ever. We start every training camp, yeah, and a coach will usually stand in front of a team meeting. You know, the quarterbacks and the running backs, Shady was in the front row, and the linemen were in the second row, and the linebackers in the third row, defensive backs behind them, and we're sitting in a meeting, and the coach will come up to the front and say, hey, fellas, make sure you get your butts in at night. But you don't do anything stupid. Don't embarrass the name on the front of the jersey. Don't embarrass the name on the back of the jersey. And don't make anybody have to answer for you.
That's it.
And what Draymond Green continues to do is make players answer for him. Steph Curry was crying during the game after Draymond Green got ejected. I be crying. Since I turned 30, I be crying. Crying is exhausting. Now you got this dude crying in must-win games in the first quarter. Yeah. Steve Kerr is having to answer about Draymond. Steph Curry having to answer questions about Draymond. Professional sports are hard as it is. Mm-hmm. And now you making your coach and your players answer for you. 2-5, Shady. Draymond Green, in my mind, is doing more harm than he is help at this point in his career.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. You know, I love, you know, I'm a Draymond fan.
Of course.
Some of this stuff is just getting outrageous, though. Like, you're trying to make the play-in. You're trying to have a chance to even to build more on your legacy. They got a great legacy there. They're trying to still build on it. Mm-hmm. You look at a guy like Steph Curry who is playing a lot of minutes, doing everything he can to have his put his team in a position to win. And we got Draymond, who is his second leader, or probably the number one leader, who they really follow. And you're not, what are, you've been a distraction. You get kicked out within, 4 minutes of the game?
Yeah,
that's crazy. And then Steph is like, man, I'm trying to win. I'm trying to do everything in my power to get us to the play-in, to have a chance to, you know, make our legacy even bigger, and you're hurting it. And one thing that Steph Curry did say is like, yeah, we can't do nothing without Draymond Green. He's a big part of it. Yeah. So when I see the game and I see the reaction from Steph Curry, I put myself in his shoes like, man, you know, we put so much into this game away from our family, right? He's chasing greatness,
yeah,
right? And I can't be great without Draymond Green. Yeah. So I think he's hurting the team.
Yeah. And I mean, it was good to see that because it was raw emotion from Steph.
It was real.
It wasn't play. It wasn't the cameras on me. It's just like, dang, man, again. Here he go again. And he's not hurting Draymond. He's hurting us. But the reason why I still can't say he's doing more harm than help, because just what you said, they need him to win. So, yes, you got my dog all emotional. Yes, you're getting ejected out of these games and all that. But Steph Curry knows, playing or not, if we are going to make any noise and have a chance to get out of the play-in and have a chance to win some playoff series, we are going to need Draymond Green. Numbers show when he's not on the court, they're not really a good basketball team. When he's on the court, they win basketball games. So Steph knows that they need Draymond. So this right here is really, I mean, you pulling both ends of the tug-of-war rope because we know he's harming, but we know we need you to win.
But here's he's not there, though?
Then they ain't going to win.
How's that not harming?
Like, that's what frustrates me about this combo. Let me explain it, Shady, because I'm with you. It's like, you said Steph knows if Draymond Green's not there, they won't win. Does Draymond not know that? Because
obviously,
Draymond keep getting ejected.
Obviously.
Time after time after time after time.
That's why I said in the locker room yesterday, at one point you got to stop thinking about Draymond and you got to start thinking about Klay if that's your brother. You see him going like this and Steph put the crowd to sleep to win the game. If Klay and Steph and Wiggins and all these dudes is your brothers like you say they are, then at one point you got to be like, I got to chill out on the refs. I got to chill out acting the way I'm acting if those are your dudes because you got to be accountable for them.
My thing is like, it's a bad call. Like, it make you that mad to yell at a dude and get kicked. I don't understand it. And I'm cool with everybody, from the preppy dudes to dudes that just get angry. I'm cool with everybody. My thing is, like, what makes you that upset? Because if a coach if a referee has a bad call, it make you that darn mad to be yelling at him and get a tech?
And then get another tech?
And then get thrown out? It's like, what do you do? I was winning the game. The game just started, dude.
Yeah.
Tip off. Like, what makes you that upset? Because some calls, I do think that, you know, Draymond has the right to voice his opinion about some calls. But, like, this situation is like,
that's
bro. And you know that you on a short leash with these dudes.
That's the big thing.
You don't think refs talk?
Yeah. You know you ain't. You know once they tell you, chill, Dre. And you keep, you about to be louder.
Yo, he was telling you, he said, what was you watching? Huh? You, like.
Oh, Dre, I love him. He's funny, though. He is funny, but. It's tough, though, man, because, I mean, like I say, he is harming him, but at the end of the day, too, it's been certain dudes on your team that you like, man, bro, be tripping out, but we need him.
Of course. Of course.
Oh, we need say this, though, man. Like, if we had a referee on this show, I would get tech because you pissed me off. You said,
like, what was you watching? Did you watch the game?
Man. Family, you know when we return.
No tech because I'll just say, you my brother, chill.
Man, get off me, man.
We going to show you. Be crying.
Best, I do be crying, though. Best moments of the week. We've introduced y'all some new segments. Come back. Join us for some laughs. That's next. Don't speak. What's up, what's up? What is the word, family? Shady McCoy, I've been gone. Can I at least get my attention back?
Please. No, look to you.
Now, look, you don't let franchise quarterbacks hit the market. Is it the right move?
You only got to finish.
You like drink Cowboys juice?
That's okay. I drink the Dak Prescott.
In the morning?
Cowboys juice, all that, you know, Mike McCarthy juice. I drink that.
We are back in the locker room. Y'all already know what time it is.
Coach Stoops, I'm available. You need a running back? I know you know running back. You need a running back? I am available. Let's let you know that.
I'll take LeSean any day. You know that.
They fired Chip.
Yeah.
And then Chip goes to San Francisco. His first game against the Buffalo Bills, he played me. Not one touchdown.
Oh, not two touchdowns.
Three touchdowns. And I was like this, bye. And Chip, bye.
19 carries for a buck 40 and three tugs.
Three tinkers.
Hey, let's go. Quick two, boy. Thank you.
Tracy, you had a style this week.
Mm-hmm. You see your boy, though. Keep it real.
Yeah, Jay, I want to go back to that Bills-Niners game. You was in the Bay versus Chip Kelly.
I was in Buffalo.
You was in Buffalo.
I was home.
You was in Buffalo. 19 for a buck 40.
Mm. Is that what it was?
Three of them.
Three tinkers.
You reminded us.
Look. Oh, I did. Look. And then that game, real talk, before the game, I told everybody, I had a whole speech. Yeah. Hey, look, this is personal.
Not shady with the speech.
Bruh, this is personal. Know what I'm saying? I need y'all to go out there and handle business. And if y'all don't, you're going to see me upset, and I'm being your face.
You
but what did they do? They held me down.
Did you care more about playing Chip when he was with the Niners or going back and playing the Eagles?
Every time we played Chip, I wanted to do my thing against him.
There you go.
I'd have had a better game with Philadelphia, but they was cheating. They get calling his holding calls. I'm busting out 25-yarder, holding. I'm like, you know what they was doing.
You shine out there.
Yeah.
You know
Jeffrey Lurie made a call.
That's true.
Hey, appreciate y'all hanging all week. Yes, we consider y'all family. We'll see y'all Monday. Peace.
It's time to roll. I'm out.